I'd like to turn to a verse or two in Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 7, Matthew, chapter 7. We might begin at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I know a man who is a believer, and he built himself a $1 million house. That house has become a chain around his neck to this day, and would like to get rid of it, but he can't. This isn't just talking about houses. This is talking about a life that we build. And who we build it for, and upon which foundation are we building it? We so often use this in Sunday school, you know, and perhaps more in connection with the gospel aspect of it. But I believe here in this context, if I'm right, it's more to do with those of us who have a profession of Christianity, and in the context of what we're talking about this last while. And whether we're using this life that God has given us for His glory and for the use of Himself, whether we're using it to build a foundation for ourselves in this life, as was brought before us just now, our brother, Mr. Kelly, he said, which world? And that's a good answer, as well as a good question. Which world are we living for? Which world are we building for down here? So here's a man who is building a house, and he's building it on a good foundation. Which of us would be so foolish as to build upon the foundation of some beach where we know that the water comes up? How foolish would it be to build it on the beach down at the Bay of Fundy, for instance? Maybe in Manitoba it'd be a little different. We don't have that much rise and fall of the rain, you know, of the water. But even so, I would be foolish to build in a bog. Be foolish, even though the view was good. We might say we build because of the view, but when the rains come, the view doesn't mean very much. And our lives are sometimes like that. That what we have in view is for earthly advantage. Now, I may be reiterating some of the things we've already said. I'm just using another portion of Scripture here. But we need to think about these things, that it's not just for children that we sing that song. It's not just for children we read these verses. It's for you and me. Because we can get very busy in building our lives down here with earthly advantage in view. I remember when we built our first house, I thought, well, you know what, we can build it and then it'll be home free. We won't it'll be a new house, and so we don't have any maintenance. Well, I soon found out that that wasn't true. And you know, after a while, some of those things become a chain around your neck, don't they? And you know, even as young people, you don't have to build a house, but you can start building your life upon something that is like building it on sinking sand. And it's not too long that the Lord sends the storms along. And first thing you know, that you're starting to sink. And you're beginning to think there's got to be something better than this. It doesn't take too long for us to realize this, really. If we're a believer in the Lord Jesus, He won't allow it. Because it says in His Word, "My son, give me thine heart." That's what He wants. And so, we find here that there are two ways of building our lives. The same way as two ways of building our houses. And one uses wisdom and the other is foolishness. You may use the wisdom of this world, but God calls it foolishness. The wisdom of the world would tell us, build a big house, build a big reputation, and make sure you get a good bank account, and whatever you do, make sure you have a good pension plan. Because you never know when you're going to need it. Well, as Christians, you know it's how foolish we're using the wisdom of the world if we use that kind of logic. Because who is our counselor? Who is our guide? Where is the wisdom of this world? Where is true wisdom? Christ is our wisdom. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We have it all. But I'm not standing here to tell you and to make you think that I've learned it all. Not by any chance. These things I'm still learning, but I know they're true. Because all you have to do is see a little bit of it in your life, and you know that it's not going to be any different if I try and ignore it. Because it's only going to get worse, because God is in control. And so, I'd like to turn to another portion in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 24. Verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy wants as an armed man. Now, our brother had just been reminding us of there's two ways we might look at serving the Lord. And one is not serving Him, I should say. One is it has to do with hiding our light under a bushel, and the other one of under a bed. And I believe what we get here is a man who is hiding his light under a bed. Slothfulness. So here's a man who was a farmer, evidently. He had a field. And, if he's a good farmer, he's going to be very, very careful how he runs that farm. The weeds do not stop growing at all. I always was glad when the winter time came because I couldn't see the weeds. And I didn't have to pull them and I didn't have to cut the grass. But, in the spring, when the snow goes away and the weeds start to grow and the grass starts to grow, if I were just to spend the rest of the year, perhaps like I did in the winter, in the house, well, if first thing you know, the weeds would, and everything would grow up around my ears. There would be, and first thing you know, the neighbors would say, "What kind of a farmer is this?" And he lets everything grow. And so the nettles covered all over the ground. They start to creep around and cover the ground, and it spoils the beauty of it. And there's walls there that keep things out and keep things in. And so the walls, first thing you know, begin to crumble. And And then, you know, the walls talk about separation. And there's another verse in the book of Ecclesiastes, I believe it is. Whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent will bite him. What does that mean? Whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent will bite him. Well, the serpents would hide in the holes in the rocks of the hedges. And they, these hedges would keep animals out, or keep animals from coming in to spoil the flock, the crops and so forth. But sometimes the serpents are hiding in these hedges, and whoso breaketh an hedge, the serpent will bite him. So you go to break this hedge that is very needful for to the protection of your property. Now let's look at this in the light of your life and mine. This hedge that is built up, that if we break it, the enemy is going to bite us. We're going to lose that separation. And so often this is allowed in our lives, brethren, if we have sought to walk in a path of separation to the Lord. And sometimes it happens when our families are small and we walk in that path of separation. And then when our families get older, all of a sudden things seem to change for some reason. I'm not saying it always is, but it so often has happened, and it's probably true in most of our lives, that you let down, you break that little wall of separation, and let the enemy to come in, and he bites us, and we suffer the consequences. The enemy comes in, and it destroys that which we were building up. The same thing as this farmer here who allowed his walls to break down, allowed the weeds to grow and the nettles to grow. And he, first thing you know, the farm became unfruitful. We've been talking a little bit about that. And each one of us, there's room for fruitfulness for God in our lives. And it doesn't take much to lose that. Am I right? So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and I want as an armed man. First thing you know, we experience poverty in our souls, and the fruitfulness for God is not there. Brother was mentioning here about the different ones in his life that he has known. They're not here anymore. I can say the same thing. Why are we here? The grace of God, if any of us are here at all, brother. But how about the ones, those that have, that are no longer here? What's happened to their lives? I often think about that. And it brings sorrow. Is it going to happen to our life? Or are we going to go on and seek to go on to the end and maintain that which God has given us? The truth. All the truth and nothing but the truth. Is there a hedge that's being broken down somewhere in your life or mine? And the enemy has come in and is robbing us of fruitfulness for God? It's only too true. I've told a story before. Maybe you've heard it. It bears telling again, perhaps, the illustration that it gives. Of a man who went out into his field and he found a young eagle. And the eagle was injured. So he picked it up and he brought it into his farmyard and he put it in amongst the chickens. or the turkeys, or whatever it was. And he thought, well, this will be safe enough until it heals. And so he watched this from time to time. And first thing you know, the eagle healed. And he got stronger. And he found, said, well, it's time to... Well, first thing you know, he noticed that this bird was starting to make a noise like the chickens. Why? So he thought, it's time to get this bird out of here and put him back where he belongs. And so he took it out to the field and he put it up on a fence post, and he thought, well, it's going to fly. And it tried to fly and it flopped down on the ground. Well, he took it again and he took it up to a high hill. And it happened again. So he took it to a higher hill and he finally took the bird and he threw it out into the air, and it had nothing to do but spread its wings and fly. So what was the reason? What's the moral of this whole thing? There's a saying in the world, you know, and maybe I don't mean to be funny here, but if you walk with the turkeys, how can you fly like an eagle? Isn't it true? Evil communications corrupt good manners. And Peter, you know, it was said of him, Peter, thy speech bewrayeth thee. Thou art a Galilean. Yes, we're known by our speech. We're known by the company we keep. And wrong company can give us bad manners. If we're going to fly like an eagle, brethren, we're going to have to fly like an eagle. We're going to have to show that we are. And I would like to suggest that if we want to fly like we should, we could read the book of Ephesians and know what our portion is. And know that we are a heavenly people. You know, the eagle can fly right into the sun. I understand he has a double eyelid that he can use so that he doesn't become blinded as he flies into the sun. Maybe I can be proven wrong in that. I don't know, but that's what I was told. But we are told that the eagle can fly right into the sun and nothing can follow it. Nothing could. I don't suppose anything would want to try and tackle an eagle, but if there was an enemy, they couldn't follow it. And so, brethren, as we fly into the sun, S-O-N, that's our protection. And we can glorify God in doing this. And so there's one more verse I'd like to read in Isaiah, chapter 40. Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail or fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I know a man, many years ago, he was one who, in the time of a division amongst the saints of God, he was one who stood firm. And he came out of it. And he went on, and just a few in that little assembly, but he went on. His family grew up, and they said, Dad, we need to buy a cottage so we can get away for the weekend, so we can go to a lake. Well, his father succumbed to it. Well, where they lived was a long way from a lake, so in order to get to a lake, they had to go a long way from the assembly. The family grew up, They began to go there on weekends, and at first they would come back for the remembrance of the Lord, and they would, and for the weekend. But little by little, it was breaking a hedge, wasn't it? Little by little, they began to miss the remembrance of the Lord. They began to miss the midweek meetings. And the first thing you know, they weren't coming at all. Where's that family today? I don't even have to tell you that, because you know. And it can happen to any one of us. Whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent will bite him. So, brethren, this eagle took off into the sun. And he was flying where he was meant to be. He wasn't meant to be scratching around in the barnyard. The farmer found that this eagle, his claws were all full of dirt, scratching in the barnyard. Because that isn't where he was meant to be. He was meant to be flying. He was meant to be free. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So let us keep in mind, brethren, it's not in the barnyard of this world that we are going to get our sustenance and our joy. We're meant to be a heavenly people. We are a heavenly people. We don't have to try to be. We are. And if we're flying at too low a level in this world, so we can see what's going on and keep our eye on the world and an eye on other things, it's not going to work. Let's fly with the eagle. And that will take us right to the sun. Okay?